This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
What I'd like to do is describe for you the culture of knowledge as opposed to the culture of ignorance. In the Vedic literature, it states clearly in the very beginning. The Vedic literature is divided into different classes, I guess you could say, different segments. There is a series of 108 Upanishads. And the first Upanishad is called the Sri Isopanishad. And this one only contains a small number of verses. I think there's only 18 verses in it. This is number 10. I want to talk to you about the 10th verse in this Sri Isopanishad. What we're covering here is the two different conceptions of life. Generally speaking, one conception of life is trying to elevate oneself. And the other conception of life is, I don't care, I won't be held responsible, I won't take responsibility. So that's the two, I guess you'd say, conflicting levels of knowledge and ignorance. Now I'll give you what the mantra says. It says, the wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge and a different is attained by the culture of ignorance. I think we can understand that that would be true. So let's cover what the Vedic literature is saying about what is the cultivation of knowledge. So it says one should himself become a perfect gentleman and learn to give proper respect to others. One should not pose himself as a religionist simply for name and fame. He should be sincere. One should not become a source of anxiety to others by actions of his body, by thoughts of his mind, or by his words. One should learn forbearance in the face of provocation from others. One should learn to avoid duplicity in his dealings with others. Don't cheat. Don't tell one thing and it's actually another. One should reach out to a bona fide spiritual master who can lead him gradually to the stage of spiritual realization, and one must submit himself to such a spiritual master, render service to him, and ask relevant questions. And we've covered this on an earlier show. In order to approach the platform of self-realization, one must follow the regulative principles enjoined in the revealed scriptures. This means there are regulative principles that are saying, don't do these things. Avoid these things. They don't help spiritual realization. And on the other hand, it says, do these things. They advance your level of self-realization. One should be fixed in the instructions of the scriptures. Understand them and use them. Employ them. One should completely refrain from practices that are detrimental to the interests of self-realization. Now, this one is quite an interesting one because people end up in relationships where the other person is not interested in spiritual life and they become a detriment to the development of your spiritual life. They poo-hoo it, they discard it, discredit it, etc., 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 and won't come out of it, won't come free of it. When that happens, one has to make a choice. If he's going to be detached from that individual, or if he's going to sacrifice the advancement he's made in this life to wait for them or tolerate them. It says here, one should refrain from practices that are detrimental. One should not accept more than he requires for the maintenance of his body. We're not here to live a cushy life. You can, or you may not. But in either condition, you're supposed to be equipoised and continue with the determination to achieve self-realization in this very life. Then it says, one should not falsely identify himself with the gross material body or consider those who are related to his body to be his own. We are eternal living entities, and this particular unique bodily predicament we're in is just momentary, one lifetime's worth. And therefore, we shouldn't be falsely identifying with this is the all in all, and that the only people we're related to are those that are related to us in this life. We're all related All of us living entities are all sons and daughters of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is the Father. Nature is the Mother. We are all the children. And we are all in a family, a related family. That's spiritual vision. Not that we have what we have here in the material world. Everybody is being browbeat into believing that those people that have the same bloodline as you are your relatives, and everybody else, kick them in the head. Fight with them. Disrespect them. This is not spiritual vision. This is illusory conception of life. Then it says, one should always remember that as long as he has a material body, he must face the miseries of repeated birth, old age, disease, and death. There is no use in making plans to get rid of these miseries of the material body. The best course is to find out the means by which one may regain his spiritual identity and not be forced to take another material body. So this is quite an instruction. I've done whole programs on that particular subject, and I think you can understand the meaning of that. This material world is just that type of place. It has problems in it, and you have to recognize that you can't change that. You just go ahead and try to tolerate. One should not be attached to more than the necessities of life required for spiritual advancement. So if you understand that you're really here for spiritual advancement as opposed to material predicament, profit, and gain, then you can see that you'll put your life's energies and your attachments toward those things you require for that spiritual awakening and upliftment. One should not be more attached to wife, children, and home than the revealed scriptures ordain. And it ordains that you should be attached to them as responsibility and affectionately guide them in spiritual awakening. That's how one should relate to their family. One should not be happy or distressed over desirables or undesirables created by the mind. This we see all the time. You're doing fine, having a good day, and somebody says something to you. Oh, you look fat in that. And in certain people, it completely throws them off their game. Anxiety, confusion, anger. And they unable to function forward in a normal manner because they've got this niggling thought that, oh, I look fat in this. So-and-so said so. It's just burning my head. Oh, gosh. Now, this is a very crude example, but there's millions of different activities, events, I should say, that happen in your day that throw you off your game, that make your mind focus on it. You can't get it out of your mind. You can't get back into what your responsibility is. You get lost in these little things, niggly things, that irritate you on the mental platform. And it says you can't allow these desirable and undesirable things to cause you distress in the mind. It's just created by the mind's fixation on it. It's not actually. Because you're not actually fat in that. Whether you look that way or not, it isn't the point, is it? You as a living entity inside of that body, whatever it looks like, that's not the point. It's where is the consciousness of that person in that body. The body is simply a car taking you from A to B. If you're going to a good cause, if you're doing the right thing, what does it matter if your body looks great or looks horrible? It matters what the intent is of what you're doing with your life, and you're using the body to facilitate that. It isn't important. So you have to have the ability to overcome the fixations of the mind that distract you from carrying on with your service mentality. One should become an unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and serve him with rapt attention. Yes, this is the selfless platform. I'm not here about me. I'm entering into what is Krishna's plan. God's plan is divine. Let me partake in it. Let me be one of his associates. Let me be one of his entourage. Let me take up a service, however simple or humble. But let me serve him. You get this when a great person comes to town. Some guy drives him. He's a chauffeur. Another person has cared for the room as the maid. Another person is discussing press issues. Another person is arranging speaking engagements. Another person is seeing to his clothes and garments. Another person, the list goes on and on and on. It's a type of entourage. Well, there's so many opportunities in the service of the Supreme Lord because you can understand how many unbelievable, wonderful things he's constantly doing. Way beyond our comprehension. So that means there is that many opportunities for servants to come forward and render some service to him. So that door is always open if you can take advantage of it. So this verse here says you should become one of those servants. Unalloyed means I'm not here for myself. I've released myself from self-interest. I'm here to see to your wishes and cooperate in the plan with all the other entourage and servants that are here. Once you develop a liking for residence in a secluded places of calm and quiet atmosphere, or those that are favorable for spiritual culture, one should avoid congested places of non-devotees congregations. So if there's a bunch of rascal people that are just absorbed in sport or cars or something of no significance, that are constantly bickering and fighting and quarreling and drinking, etc., etc., it's not conducive to spiritual life. You're better to take some place that's at the park. Sit there and relax and go on and think of, concentrate on spiritual activities and spiritual personalities and instructions from the great saints and sages. That's conducive to developing your spiritual life. And it says, one should become a serious student and conduct research into spiritual knowledge, recognizing that spiritual knowledge is permanent, whereas material knowledge ends at the death of the body. So now, these 18 instructions I've just given you are classified here in this book as being in the category of real knowledge and should be developed by everyone. And one of our great spiritual masters, the great Acharya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that everything else is simply material knowledge and it's really has no permanence. It's only part of this temporary material world and it's not of significance for us, for those, I should say, on a spiritual path. So the same principle is found right here, that by advancement of material knowledge, the modern man is simply being converted into a fool. The modern politicians, sometimes they'll disguise themselves as spiritual people, but generally they're just materialistic people concerned about things that don't matter, and they always do a bad job. If they were actually concerned with uplifting your consciousness, they would be treating you completely differently, and it wouldn't be a bad job. So, generally speaking, people who misunderstand and are material absorbed cannot actually make a positive change in their environment or the attitudes and understanding of the people in general. But you and I, on an individual platform, we can come to a higher level of understanding by hearing the spiritual master, by reading the Vedic literature, by chanting the Maha Mantra. So even the way things are going right now, the youth are not educated to respect the intelligence of their older generations or the intelligent people in their lives. They're not trained to cultivate knowledge. They're being trained to cultivate information. And that information is relative to the material predicament they're in and what the teachers or institutions believe will be beneficial for you're earning a living when you get into the workforce. Okay? But the workforce, the real workforce, is to become a servant of God. And that is not does not require a lot of material education. It requires spiritual education that you get from the spiritual master. So the Vedic literature is that textbook that the spiritual master uses to bring you out of the material predicament and material perspective of life and put you into the transcendental perspective of life and where you move out of selfishness, move into selflessness, move into the service mentality, and become an unselfish servant of the Supreme Lord. So this type of cultivation is real knowledge. Cultivation of how to handle computers, how to take them apart, how to program, how to use. Same thing with vehicles. Same thing with so many other material things, how to build chairs. All of this stuff ends with the body. All of that stuff is like, yet, if you're going to enter the workforce. But the intelligent person, he wants to enter God's workforce. He doesn't really desire to enter into the material workforce. So this is what you get from the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada's instructions are intended to and empowered to bring you out of the material misconception of life and place you firmly in the devotional service of the Lord. I've stated before how you are a unique individual. Every single one of us is a unique spiritual individual. And we have our own unique characteristics and qualities. And therefore, we do things, we render service, we do activities, we respond to stimulation in a unique way. And that uniqueness is the variety, provides the variety that the Lord is attracted to. You are unique, and yet you're trying to render service to Him. And he sees, this person is rendering me service in such a unique way, an individual way. It is attractive to me. He's sincere. He's humble. He's trying to do the best he can. But it's so interesting that he's trying to do it like that. Or he's thinking of it happening like this. And this attracts the Lord. So you see, this variety, your uniqueness is your blessing. And you can render your unique type of service to the Lord, and he appreciates it. If everyone and everything was always the same, how repetitious, boring, uninteresting, oh my goodness, would it be to the Lord and to you and me? We need variety in our life, or we end up going, I got to take a break. I got to have a holiday. So we see the Lord as the same situation. He has that taste, that inclination to experience the variety of life, of pastimes. He has that willingness to provide you an opportunity, a position in his service because of your uniqueness. So in the material world, the programming by the elites and the government and the controllers and governance people of the planet, they are always trying to take out your uniqueness. This tall poppy, the he who stands out, the he who thinks by a different perspective, he who marches by the beat of a different drum, they are either punished or shunned or removed, and in many instances, they're killed. They want everybody to fall in line so you're easier to manage. And the Lord's going the opposite way. You be your unique self, please. Because your unique qualities means that the service you provide to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is unique. And that is what he wants. All the living entities, all of us, are created to render service, but in our own unique fashion. And there is an opportunity, there is a vacancy for new types of servants. Always. He's always benevolent, always looking for someone to share his mercy with. And you become exactly the person he's looking for. Exactly the person he would wish would use his free will and come and please me and serve me. So when the spiritual master instructs you of the instructs you about the processes, the differing processes of devotional service, they are for training. And you go through that training so that you understand in proper perspective. You aren't offensive. You understand the ins and outs of it. You understand the depth and significance and the meanings. You understand all these things. And then you kind of like graduate to where, all right, now you do service, favorable service, non-offensive service, but in your own unique fashion. And you are able to be that unique individual, be yourself. And you're able to render service to the Lord for his satisfaction. And both you and the Lord achieve a happiness because of that interaction of selfless service in a unique way. This is the perfection that is afforded to you by the instructions of the spiritual master. This makes up for all of the sufferings you'll have in the material world. It all just vanishes like a cloud when the sun comes up. Poof. And you are fixed on the platform of loving devotional service to the Lord, and the Lord is fixed on reciprocating and protecting and loving my servant. So this is the hallowed ground of spiritual life. When you are in a direct exchange and relationship with the Supreme Lord, and he is in a direct relationship with you as a reciprocation for your sincere service. You can't say, Lord, accept me. You can't say, Lord, love me. And similarly, the Lord doesn't tell you, you have to love me. It's all voluntary. And because of it, it is unbelievably, ultimately sweeter. Everyone is satisfied. The highest taste is achieved. It's described in the Vedic literature, specifically by Srila Rupa Goswami, that a drop of the transcendental nectar of service to the Lord cannot be compared to an ocean of material happiness. No comparison. Just one drop. So you can get through, get saved, shall we say, pulled up out of this ocean of material happiness and distress, and get fixed within a drop of the spiritual happiness in service to the Lord, and be as fixed in a type of blissful happiness that never ends. And you have full understanding of what and why is going on, and you still have your free will to execute your service better and better and better as time goes on. It's ever evolving and growing, and the nectar, the size of your drop, gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and your happiness does exactly the same. This is spiritual life. This is normal life. What we're experiencing here is temporary material existence. And the spiritual master is the via media who gives you that understanding, gives you that taste for that spiritual happiness, and opens the door by directing you, instructing you. These are the processes. This is the method. Here is my instructions. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. And success is guaranteed. That is spiritual realization. That is spiritual perfection. So take to the method of reading the Vedic literature. Bhagavad Gita, as it is the textbook by the spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and inquire, read, listen within, use your intelligence, inquire from other spiritual beings, follow in the footsteps of the great souls. The answers, the success of life comes to you. You become fully realized, fully satisfied at the topmost level of happiness outside of this material tabernacle of birth, death, old age, and disease. This is what Vedic literature is bringing to you. This is what the spiritual master is providing, the great gift of spiritual emancipation, of love of God. Take to devotional service. Chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Read the Bhagavad Gita by the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Listen to our program. Everything will come about fully to your understanding, completely to your clarification. You deserve it. It's available to you. Take the time to do the right thing. This is a real opportunity. Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita, as it is.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.